Welcome, everyone. This is Russ Galzo, Chronicles of the End Times. Thank you for being with me today, and I pray that you are growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking more and more of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is part two of Enemy of the State. If you listened to the last podcast, you heard some interviews and some comments from others that talk about the digital economy, talk about the internet and possible control over the internet. And I know that that might freak some people out, and you know, you get scared and you say, you know, I don't really need to know that or listen to that. I just want to walk with the Lord and let him handle everything. And I understand that, and it sounds like a good plan. But if we want to be prepared mentally and be prepared spiritually and be able to do that for other people, we need to know what's going on. And due to the fact that we're living in this generation where everyone seems to be running headlong towards the end without knowing it, we need to remind people that Jesus predicted these things, and that he is coming back, and there's a better world coming, and that Jesus can help us live through this world, to live through all this craziness, to deal with it, to have wisdom. We need wisdom probably more than ever right now as to how we are supposed to act and live and think about the world we live in. And it becomes even more important. It's more important that we are in contact with the Lord, that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, and that we follow his commands and draw as close to him as possible. And as I've said before, let's not just be part of the crowd that gathered on the hills to listen to him, to see what he was talking about and maybe what they could get out of it, and it was cool to do at the moment. But let's be like the disciples. They followed him everywhere. They weren't going to let him out of their sight. And they got the privilege of sitting around the campfire at night and hear him speak and have fellowship with him and just kind of hang out and talk about things, talk about life. And we still need to do that today. Let's remember the words that Jesus spoke in John 14. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And he goes on to say, whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Let's remember what he said about David. He said that David was a man after his own heart. That was because David would do all his will. So though we fall and we stumble, and we all do it, more than we like to even admit, as long as we're on the road of obedience, we are in the presence of God. Lord is not asking us to be perfect. It's an impossibility. He makes our souls, our spirits perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. But what he is asking us to do is to be obedient. And he knows even in that we're going to fall, and we're going to stumble, and we're going to make mistakes. But he is merely asking us to walk with him, to have the attitude of being obedient. Because he wants to bless us, he wants to strengthen us, he wants to keep us and guide us by the power of the Holy Spirit and how we should live and the decisions that we should make. I've been picking out little pieces here and there of people that I feel are important and have knowledge of the things that we've been discussing. The coming digital currency and a digital ID, which we will all soon need in order to get on the internet. And they may or may not be of the Christian faith, but the truth is still the truth. And it lines up with the Word of God. Stuff we've been talking about for years, as I've said before, is happening right in our face. And we need to get beyond the smokescreen that's going on around in America right now. We are obsessed with this election year. And yes, there are some very, very important things that need to happen this year. But folks, I'm telling you that the system is going 100 miles an hour to fulfill Bible prophecy. And it's not the devil who's fulfilling prophecy. It's the one who prophesied it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, the Lord says, I watch over my word to perform it. And I've said this many times, but it's important. It's to the glory of God that we declare that he has already declared these things before they happen. So let's get a little update and a little education. This is only a short clip from Lena Petrova. She has a channel on YouTube that I suggest you check out. She's been a manager at Azure Software. She's director of financial reporting at Farm Credit Bank and has a pulse on what's going on with central bank digital currency, not only here in America, but around the world. Let's take a listen.
Worldwide, there has been quite a bit of progress made researching and developing CBDCs. Even though we don't really hear about this in the news at all, as if it doesn't even exist, don't let that fool you. Right now, 130 countries are exploring a CBDC, and that number represents 98% of global GDP. A new record high of 64 countries are now in the advanced phases of exploration. These so-called advanced phases are, and you're not going to like this at all, they're either ready to launch their CBDCs or they're just about to pilot a version.
In the next clip, she points out what's going on in other nations of the world. Why is this important to know? Because we've been talking about this, you know, say goodbye to cash thing and digital currency and worldwide control of finances for decades. And we need to know that it's just around the corner. And we're also going to get into a little bit of what's going on behind the scenes spiritually. Before we get into that, let's listen as Lena breaks down what's happening in the financial marketplaces with central bank digital cash in other places of the world.
The most significant progress towards a CBDC has been made in Europe, and that is not a surprise. The head of the European Central Bank said that the digital euro is designed as a form of cash. That is the exact word that she used. She said it's just a form of cash, so you don't really need to worry about anything, she said. And she also added that the digital euro will provide instant settlements and it will offer a high level of privacy and security. Of course, nobody truly knows what that means in the context of a CBDC, which completely excludes the concept itself, excludes privacy by definition. Europe is currently working on creating incentives for banks and other payment processors to distribute digital euro and to ensure that it is widely accepted in the eurozone. So, in my opinion, this likely means that banks will only accept the digital euro for essential services or for certain type of services. For example, as has been mentioned before, they may start social and government payments first, so they will offer a CBDC to those who cannot refuse it. Well, let's take a look at other countries. In Argentina, as of just a little over a month ago, the Central Bank of Argentina reported that it was working on the legal framework for the CBDC project in pesos. Now, Australia. In Australia, the Reserve Bank of Australia, in partnership with MasterCard, were involved in a CBDC blockchain pilot program, which they concluded successfully, reportedly, in 2023. Brazil is working on a first phase launch of the digital real. At this time, it is scheduled for May of this year. Let's talk about China. China is ahead of the game here. We all know that. As I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, one of its top oil and gas companies has already started using a CBDC. It was used for international crude oil settlement using the digital yuan. Moving on, in India, the Reserve Bank of India has launched a pilot phase where they planned to complete 1 million daily transactions by the end of 2023. I haven't really seen any reports whether or not they were able to achieve that goal. In Japan, things aren't quite as quick. The Bank of Japan is developing a retail version of a CBDC, so the one that would be used by average consumers. And it is partnering with 60 companies for the pilot program of a digital yen. Unlike Japan, the Philippines decided to start with a wholesale CBDC first. So they're already piloting their first digital peso for large foreign currency transfers. Russia is moving along a similar path. The Russian parliament approved a digital ruble bill back in mid of 2023, and a pilot program has been launched as well. South Korea is actively working on a CBDC too. The country decided not to waste any time at all, and they went ahead and developed both wholesale and retail versions simultaneously. In Europe, individual countries can work to develop their own central bank digital currencies too, in addition to the digital euro that will be sort of that umbrella digital currency in the eurozone. The Swiss Central Bank has partnered with 6 commercial banks in the country to launch the pilot of the digital Swiss franc. So as you can see, even though we don't really hear about any of this, it is quite shocking that this doesn't make news, even though, as we know, this is 100% life-changing.
Well, that's a lot of information, but it only scratches the surface. If you're someone who'd like to dig into this further, then I suggest you go on YouTube and listen to Lena Petrova and to Whitney Webb, who are both very, very intelligent and have their hand on the pulse of what's happening in the financial world. And I'm not saying that either one of these people or anybody else that I might put clips on about are 100% right in everything they say, but we need to be aware of what is true. So as we reflect on that scripturally, and many of you know this, if you're listening to Chronicles of the End Times, you obviously have an interest in Bible prophecy and what's going on in the world and what is about to happen, and you want to stay updated and glean what's happening, and I'm sure you listen to other podcasts as well, which is healthy, and we should know what's going on. We don't have to run around like conspiracy theorists, you know, and that's what a lot of people would like to call people like us who want to know what's happening and not just fall asleep and float downstream with everybody else. And I believe a lot of people are afraid. And that fear is what drives change, unfortunately. When these big corporations, Wall Street, and those who are of the financial elite, when they want to get something done, it's best done when people are afraid, when things are falling apart, when things need to be fixed in a hurry, and people are more willing to let that happen, as we know about COVID. You know, everyone was afraid, and so change happened. And I think it's safe to assume that this is going to happen again in some way, shape, or form to bring this whole system into play. Whitney Webb addresses this in his next 2-minute clip. Let's take a listen.
There's been a push for several years, but now it's gaining an insane amount of momentum and steam. But it really goes back several years. And the goal is to have a regulated internet, which means the end of online privacy and anonymity. And they want to do this by having people link a government-issued ID to their internet access and internet activity. A lot of government policy, whether it's about this or something else, doesn't come organically from the government. It comes from think tanks. It comes from groups like that, or even the WEF, the World Economic Forum, that are then given to politicians, and politicians legislate and enact it, and the state enforces it. But it's not necessarily the ideas of the legislature and the state itself, these policies. And more often than not, these think tanks are funded by corporations and billionaires and all of these guys. And they also own the politicians. So it's really them creating the policy. And they use the state as an enforcer to force it on the public. The global public-private partnership is what my colleague Ian Davis calls them, they, right? And I think it's pretty fair. One of the earliest iterations of it, at least in the United States, was during the Obama administration. They called it a driver's license for the internet. The idea of, in order to access the internet, when you set up, you know, internet connection at your house, the internet service provider links all of your internet traffic to your ID. And in doing so, the government and the signals intelligence arm or intelligence agency of the government then has access to not just everything you're posting and writing online, but also everything you read. This whole push is completely related to ending financial anonymity and financial privacy as well. It's a completely interrelated thing. And I've done pretty extensive deep dives on this going back to probably like 2021. Because it's very tied up with how they're likely to force this regulated internet on the populace. Because they're not just going to be like, let's do this now. I mean, people aren't going to go along with it. So they need some sort of event that gets people angry and afraid and panicking in order to stick it through. So basically, this is going to be folded into, I guess, what I would call a Cyber Patriot Act. The Patriot Act being the legislation pushed through in the U.S. after September 11th, 2001, a lot of which wasn't necessarily related to anything to do with 9/11, but was a huge power grab by the state taking advantage opportunistically of the panic after 9/11. So they need some sort of event like that to ram all this stuff through.
Amazing. I understand why people want to just stick their head in the sand and not read about it, not think about it, not look at it, because it's scary. But we cannot walk away from the time that we're in. And I believe God has a purpose for you and me to do things we never dreamed possible, to reach people we never dreamed we'd reach, to have God move through us by the power of the Holy Spirit like we only dreamed about. Because Ezekiel chapter 33 says, I take no delight in the death of the wicked. That's God's heart. So let's join him and get the vision and march on. So why is the central bank interested in digital currency? Well, some of you may well know that, because it's programmable, because it's controllable, and that is really what the whole Antichrist system's about. This could not have taken place at any other time in history. It's not like men haven't tried this before. They just haven't had the technology. Back in the Dark Ages, the church controlled everything. Only the leaders in the church and the elite could read or write for the most part. And they used that and fear to control the people. So this is not a new idea. It's just in a new paradigm. And if you've been listening to me for any length of time, I've been doing this for over 10 years. I have never been much of a political guy. I talk about Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom and how we can prepare to reach people for Jesus and how we can live better for Jesus Christ. But some things just come up in your face and you can't run away from them. And one of the major things that I see, the people in high places, the elite, they want to see this central bank digital currency come to fruition because it gives them ultimate control over everything. And isn't that exactly what the Bible prophesies? That no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark? Now, I'm not saying that this is the mark, because it's not, but it's a system. It's a system that's been talked about and prophesied about for years, and that system is now upon us. So how do we as Christians handle this insanity of this election year? I believe we should act like Jesus. That's the safest route. That's the route to go. And no matter what your political persuasion is, I don't believe in mocking people and making fun of people. I don't think that's the Christian way to go. I don't think that's something that God's pleased with. We can disagree, that's for sure. And there's a lot of things we should definitely disagree on. And there's a lot of things that we should be praying about or changed for the sake of our children. And if you've heard me any length of time, you know that I've talked about that a lot. I don't believe in making fun of Joe Biden because he couldn't remember some stuff or he fell down. I don't know. That's kind of ugly stuff. And I think we have to be aware that what's happening with Donald Trump is beyond the natural. Not because he's some kind of spiritual giant or the savior of the world. I think that's a problem that we have as people. We believe whatever side we're on, that our guy's going to change everything and fix everything. That's dangerous because that's training us towards the eventual dictator of the world, the Antichrist. He's going to save us. He's going to fix everything. If that is our mentality, we need to change it. Jesus Christ is the only one. He's our only Savior, now and forever. I do believe that what's happening is supernatural. I believe it's supernatural hate that goes beyond the imagination. To destroy someone, to do everything but put a bullet in someone's head, there's something wrong with that. The hate people have for Israel and all that they're doing, and the way things are twisted and the truth is twisted, that kind of hate is supernatural. When you hate somebody so much that you just want to tear them apart, tear their lives apart, do away with them like they want to do away with the Jews, that is supernatural hate. And the only way that can be overcome is by supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in the name of Jesus to overcome evil. For the Lord tells us to overcome evil with good. In the coming months, there will be great disclosure of evil. God is going to open the eyes of many people, but there'll be those who are destined for destruction who will not listen, nor will they want to listen, because they're looking for a different Messiah, the one the Spirit of God talks about in Revelation chapter 6. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals. I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a white horse. Its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. That is not a prophecy about Jesus Christ, as in chapter 19. That's a prophecy about the coming false Messiah. We all get to choose our God, and that's the whole idea. God is going to separate the world. He's going to make it clear. There will be no more what we call gray areas. God is going to create an atmosphere where it's impossible to be neutral. And those of us who are going to stand with Christ will pick up our cross and we'll follow him. And like I've said before, picking up your cross means that you identify with Christ. That's all that means. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, everyone pick up your cross if you're going to follow me. And he says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. That's what he's talking about. If you will follow me, if you will pick up your cross and follow me and identify with me, I will be with you now until the end of the age. That's his promise. So let's continue to look up. Let's continue to pray and break down the walls of hate. Let us seek the Lord as never before. This is Russ Scalzo for Chronicles of the End Times. Keep looking up. The King is coming.